welcome to Morning Manna, April the 30th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you brought us to a new day. We thank you that you continue to teach us day by day from your word. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might follow closely your instructions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we begin at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, and thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels saith he at any time, Sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The SDA Bible Commentary, page 922, beginning at paragraph 1, says this. The first chapter of Hebrews contrasts the position of the angels and the position of Christ. God has spoken words concerning Christ that are not to be applied to the angels. They are sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But Christ, as mediator, is the great minister in the work of redemption. The Holy Spirit is his representative in our world to execute the divine purpose of bringing to fallen man power from above, that he may be an overcomer. All who enter into a covenant with Jesus Christ become, by adoption, the children of God. They are cleansed by the regenerating power of the Word, and angels are commissioned to minister unto them. God has angels whose whole work is to draw those who shall be heirs of salvation. Whenever one takes a step toward Jesus, Jesus is taking steps towards him. The angels' work is to keep back the powers of Satan. Heavenly angels are commissioned to watch the sheep of Christ's pasture. When Satan, with his deceptive snares, would deceive, if possible, the very elect, these angels set in operation influences that will save the tempted souls if they will take heed to the word of the Lord, realize their danger, and say, No, I will not enter into the scheme of Satan. I have an elder brother on the throne in heaven who has shown that he has a tender interest in me, and I will not grieve his heart of love. I know and am assured that he is watching over his children, keeping them as the apple of his eye. There is no diminishing of his love. I will not grieve the heart of Christ. I will try not to become a tempter to others. As invisible agencies, angels are working through human beings to proclaim the commandments of God. Angels have far more to do with the human family than many suppose. Speaking of the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Holy angels will join in the song of the redeemed. Though they cannot sing from experimental knowledge, he hath washed us in his own blood and redeemed us unto God. Yet they understand the great peril from which the people of God have been saved. Were they not sent to lift up for them a standard against the enemy? They can fully sympathize with the glowing ecstasy of those who have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Holy ministering agencies of heaven are cooperating with human agencies to lead into safe paths all who love truth and righteousness. It is the greatest joy of the angels of heaven to spread the shield of their tender love over souls who turn to God, and Satan fights determinedly to retain every soul that has had light and evidence. His fierce, unabated desire is to destroy every soul possible. Will you choose to stand under his banner? Angelic agencies are standing firm, determined that he shall not obtain the victory. They would recover every soul in our world who is under Satan's banner if these poor souls would not so eagerly seek to keep out of and away from their merciful ministrations and rescuing power. Their deep and earnest love for the souls for whom Christ has died is beyond measurement. They would make these deceived souls intelligent in regard to how they might arm themselves and break the spell which Satan has cast upon them. If they would only look unto Jesus, and for one moment discern truly, sincerely, what love has been expressed in the sacrifice which has been made for them, if only they could see the determined efforts of Satan to eclipse by the hellish shadow every ray of light that would come into the mind and heart of persons now dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, that they would awake from their torpor, as the whole world will soon awake by the trumpet of God, which will announce his appearing. Angels are keeping back the destroying agencies, for they have an intense interest for these rebellious sons, and they want to help them to return to the fold in safety and peace, that they may finally be overcomers and be saved eternally, saved with the family of God in heaven. The work of these heavenly beings is to prepare the inhabitants of this world to become children of God, pure, holy, undefiled. But men, though professing to be followers of Christ, do not place themselves in a position where they can understand this ministry, and thus the work of the heavenly messengers is made hard. The angels, who do always behold the face of the Father in heaven, would prefer to remain close by the side of God in the pure and holy atmosphere of heaven, but a work must be done in bringing this heavenly atmosphere to the souls who are tempted and tried, that Satan may not disqualify them for the place the Lord would have them fill in the heavenly courts. Principalities and powers in heavenly places combine with these angels in their ministration for those who shall be heirs of salvation. But how sad it is that this work is hindered by the coarseness, the roughness, the worldly mindedness of men and women who are so desirous of securing their own ends, of gratifying their own wishes, that they lose sight of the Word of God, which should be their instructor and their guide. The Lord gives to every angel his work for this fallen world. Divine help is provided for men and women. They have the opportunity of cooperating with the heavenly intelligences, of being laborers together with God. There is placed before them the possibility of gaining a fitness for the presence of God, of being enabled to see his face. Heavenly angels are working to bring the human family into a close brotherhood, a oneness described by Christ as like that existing between the Father and the Son. How can men so highly favored by God fail to appreciate their opportunities and privileges? How can they refuse to accept the divine help proffered? How much is it possible for human beings to gain if they will keep eternity in view. Satanic agencies are always warring for the mastery over the human mind, but the angels of God are constantly at work, strengthening the weak hands and confirming the feeble knees of all who call upon God for help. The angels of God are communicating with and guarding his people, and are pressing back the powers of darkness, that they shall not have any control over those who shall be heirs of salvation. Are we working in harmony with the angels? This is the line of communication the Lord has established with the children of men. The Lord Jesus has a special work appointed for each of the angelic family. Human agencies have also an appointed work to do in behalf of their own souls and the souls of others saved through their influence. The angels of God will make effectual the work of men. They have an intense desire that human agencies shall come where they will find a refuge. The angels had a constant guardianship over Christ from his birth until his reception into the heavenly courts. Angels are working through human agents who will be worked to bring sinners to God. Oh, that those who are halting between two opinions could only understand the agencies continually at work to keep at bay the armies of the power of darkness by presenting earthly advantages or earthly obstacles to defeat the purposes of God, and by various other methods, Satan would intercept every ray of light from the messengers of God. But if the curtain could be rolled back, and eyes now blind to the invisible agencies could view with restored spiritual vision the conflict continually going on in behalf of the souls perishing away from Christ, what a difference would be made in the working of the agencies in this world. Decided advance movements would be made. Without delay, their entire influence for good would be thrown on the side of Christ. They would behold the intense interest of the angels of God in behalf of souls who were throwing away the opportunities and privileges now so valuable to them to obtain an experimental knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ whom he hath sent. The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. Then ask, believe what God hath said. He will surely fulfill his word. Say from your heart, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The victory must be gained day by day. As Christ's representatives, we are to stand on vantage ground before the world. Let us then engage in this part of the Christian warfare, determinedly overcoming every weakness of character. The Lord has had true-hearted men and women, those who have made a covenant with him by sacrifice. They have not swerved from their integrity. They have kept themselves unspotted from the world, and they have been led by the light of life to defeat the purposes of the wily foe. Will human beings now act their part in resisting the devil? If they will do this, he will surely flee from them. Angels who will do for you what you cannot do for yourselves are waiting for your cooperation. They are waiting for you to respond to the drawing of Christ. Draw nigh to God and to one another. By desire, by silent prayer, by resistance of satanic agencies, put your will on the side of God's will. While you have one desire to resist the evil and sincerely pray, deliver me from temptation, you will have strength for your day. It is the work of the heavenly angels to come close to the tried, the tempted, the suffering ones. They labor long and untiringly to save the souls for whom Christ has died. And when souls appreciate their advantages, appreciate the heavenly assistance sent them, respond to the Holy Spirit's working on their behalf, when they put their will on the side of Christ's will, angels bear the tidings heavenward. Returning to the heavenly courts, they report their success with the souls for whom they have ministered, and there is rejoicing among the heavenly host. The angels of God have seen in the churches a condition of things which has grieved them and grieved the Holy Spirit. The professed people of God have shown a lack of unity and love. They have not heeded the admonition, be ye therefore followers of Christ as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The Apostle Paul says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that ye through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one to another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God." Again he says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality." This admonition has been strangely neglected. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Plans have been devised by which the loving attention shown in hospitality and visiting, a work which should bind heart to heart, are cut off. Let not methods and plans be invented which will give no opportunity for brotherly love or life. The spirit of covetousness or is here and fills the world from place to place. But it must be killed. You must let it die. Our Heavenly Father gives us of his bounty freely, and for his sake, who gave his life for us, we should entertain our brethren and our sisters. The Lord designs that we shall care for the interests of one another. The Apostle Paul gives us an illustration of this. Addressing the Church of Rome, he says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also." Christ's admonition to his disciples is to be heeded by us. Almost his last words before he gave his life for the world were, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." "How much, Lord?" "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." God calls us today to show that love, to show that appreciation for those with whom we come in contact, especially those who are with us in the faith. We must care for them. We must do everything we know how to do so that the example that we set to the rest of the world might be a powerful example for good, a Christ-like character, one that cares about the needs of others, and not only the physical needs or the temporal needs, but one that cares about the eternal needs of our brethren around us. Those who have not yet encountered Christ will be drawn to us because of the lifestyle that we practice, will be drawn to us because of the things that we do and the way that we speak and our attitude as we encounter them day by day. God is calling you to be his messenger, and he is calling you to be just as he was when he was on this earth. We've made mistakes. We've turned away from the path that we ought to have gone. We have ignored individuals that we thought were less than we are. Today, God is asking us to come to him with humility. Come with humility, but come with an attitude of repentance, asking for forgiveness for the attitudes that we have demonstrated to others, not knowing that they were the children of God, saved as Christ saved us. Why not turn to Christ today? Why not ask him for forgiveness for the opportunities that you have overlooked and the opportunities that you've missed? Why not confess those things that you have done that were unlike him, and ask him to restore you to that which he would have you be, so that you might be indeed a powerful example to the world. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to instruct us. We ask forgiveness for those things which we have done, which were not according to your will. We plead, Lord, that you would give us the strength that is necessary, and as the angels walk with us, that we will be a demonstration of the things of heaven rather than of earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, April the 30th, 2020.